Welcome to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard weekly at this time on 1450 AM and 107.1 FM. Today's guest is James Grunke, President and CEO at the Erie Regional Chamber and Growth Partnership. James, thanks so much for joining us today and being in the Business Spotlight again. We are anxious to spend this time with you today as we look back at the unique challenges that 2020 presented from the Erie Regional Chamber and Growth Partnership's perspective. More importantly, we'll take a look ahead to 2021. James, for those that do not know, can you explain your role as President and Chief Executive Officer at the Erie Chamber and Growth Partnership and what led you to Erie?
Certainly. And again, thanks for asking me to be on. I always enjoy these conversations. As the Chief Executive Officer of the Erie Regional Chamber, my primary responsibilities really include making the major corporate decisions for the organization, managing the overall operations and the resources of the company or the corporation. And I act as the main point of communication between not only the board of directors, but also our members and the community as a whole. So I'm really also the public face of the organization. I have been in Erie now, I'm a little over 2 years, and this has been just a tremendously good fit for me, both personally and professionally. I've spent most of my adult life working in the field of economic development. I became the leader of my first economic development organization in the early 90s. I hate to admit it's been that long ago. I've done this for nearly 30 years. And I've worked predominantly in the Western states. And this Erie is actually my first experience in Pennsylvania or even along the Great Lakes. So I was recruited here. They used a professional search firm that reached out to me originally in the summer of 2018. That's hard to believe it's been that long already. And I have determined in my career path, what I really found the most rewarding were communities that were struggling, right? Communities that are really doing well, they don't need my talents as much or my skill set as much as somebody, a community that really wants to change its trajectory. And I found that to be the truth about Erie. But Erie has to ask itself some hard questions. You know, this decline has not just happened the last couple of years, it's been going on for four decades. And so my question is, you know, what have you been doing and why now? And I think some of the things that we're going to talk about later today, but just the increased corporate leadership, the collaboration that we see between the public and the private sector, which also include collaboration with higher education, were all the ingredients that I needed to see to say this is a community that wants to rise again and I want to be a part of it.
Can you explain the primary mission of the chamber for those that may not be aware?
Well, and we also struggle sometimes ourselves just to say, you know, what our mission is. But first and foremost, we believe our mission is to lead Erie's economic evolution, meaning what are we moving? It's not a revolution, it's evolving, right? We're always going to be a community that's going to make stuff or just making new stuff and new different stuff. And so we take our economic development responsibilities really serious. And for us, that has four components. First and foremost, what are we doing to help existing businesses grow and expand? Second, what are we doing to attract businesses to our community? Third, how are we helping businesses to get started? And then finally, the fourth piece always comes about is a workforce development, because I can't attract a company, start a company, or grow a company if we don't have a solid workforce pipeline. And then I'd say the second responsibility that we take on is we play the role of advocacy. So we're advocating on the behalf of our members, which is the business community. We're the voice of Erie's business community. And sometimes we're representing, you know, nearly 700 companies representing almost 80,000 jobs in this community. And so instead of having one business speaking out, we're speaking collective. So economic development, advocacy, collaboration, placemaking are all parts of it. And certainly connecting. We believe, I mean, there's nobody that we can't make a connection to in this community. And people understanding, hey, I really want to meet you, they should know that we can reach out and we can make that happen. And that's what it's all about.
James, can you share how COVID-19 impacted your members?
As everybody knows, almost every single quarter has been impacted. And it really caused us to quickly mobilize and figure out what does a global pandemic mean for Erie residents and Erie businesses and Erie employers and Erie employees. And since the start, since March, I think we've gone through several evolutions of what we did. The very first thing that we did is we tried to make a central resource of where people can get information. And we developed, I think, one of the best landing pages of COVID-related information. And part of it was I just knew what my own inbox looked like in March and April. I was being inundated with information and I needed a way to get through the clutter. So I think we did, first and foremost, we became a trusted resource of information because the rules keep changing and none of us knew what they were. Secondly, it caused us to reach out to all of our members and say, what's happening in your business? You know, what are the issues? At that time, people were worried about, can we find personal protective equipment or what the rules are? I mean, we still remember what it was like to be in red. The next thing we did is we began having a series of town hall listening sessions. So we needed to understand what businesses were thinking and what were their impact. And I would say the six that we held, they were much more optimistic than I would have told you. And this was taking place now in June and July. Most businesses felt good about their ability to get back to full employment within 12 months, of course, other than the hospitality industry. Most businesses felt that at that time they had adequate information. Most businesses understood how they could reopen safely. Because keep in mind, no employer wants either their employees or their customers to get sick in their environment. And we've also taken up quite a bit of advocacy role during that time. I mean, I think we believe that the hospitality industry has been unfairly picked on during this shutdown, particularly if you look at the restaurant industry. And while we applaud that we're at 50% capacity going into the winter, what does that mean? And we just didn't feel like it was fair to just isolate one industry to be over-regulated, as well as we don't believe in a one-size-fits-all approach. You know, downtown Philadelphia and downtown Union City have very different experiences, and that rule was being made to apply across. And so we did continue to advocate. We were in fairly constant contact with the county executive as well as the health district, central health district, so we understood the rules. Even on our own events, we would try to put a safety plan together. And then in the fall, we really emerged to say, we're going to show how you operate safely. So we began having in-person events again, programs for the chamber. And we viewed it's our responsibility to show how you can safely go about doing business again. And we put in all the protocols and we would have a safety plan that we would get approved. And I think our members just liked the ability to have events again. We held a government affairs, a legislative roundtable out at the Erie Community Park out in Lake City. We held an event at Shades Beach. We held just a few weeks ago, our annual meeting at the Ambassador with everybody wearing masks, everybody at their own individual table, 6 feet away. We reduced the capacity because we think we have to be a leader. And then right now, we wouldn't hold it in, you know, that was several weeks ago. Now we wouldn't do it in person. We follow the spike as well, right? We're worse off today than we were at the height of the red. So we think we have to also pivot, I think is probably the most overused word of the global pandemic. But again, we would say we were going to hold a family-friendly event in December at the convention center. We were going to have Santa and reindeer and just try to have some sort of a activity for our members and their children. And right now, we just don't think it would be responsible to do that. And so again, we think our role is to show leadership.
How has the COVID-19 challenge made your team better at helping members' businesses?
A couple of ways, but first and foremost, we were just like any other business being impacted, right? And quite frankly, in the early part of the shutdown, because of the lack of predictability, we're probably the last check that people should be writing to is to support their membership in the chamber. We're trying to be a thought leader of how to find PPE, how to apply for a paycheck protection plan, how to do. And we don't know either, right? So we're having to try to figure this out so we can be a trusted advisor in the community. And I think it reinforced that we're in a customer service business, and that's reaching out to our members and it's reaching out to our community. And I think we're much better about that now. And we understand our responsibilities probably a little better.
We are a member here at WPSE, and just getting a call from you guys during the pandemic or at the very beginning stages of the pandemic from you guys asking, how can we help, really was great and is really a credit to your leadership, isn't it?
Well, thank you. I mean, I've luckily assembled a very good team here that is, you know, they all work here not for a paycheck. They work here because they want a future for them and their families and their children. They want to be a part of something moving Erie forward. And I'm really fortunate that that's the mindset of the employees here.
Can you share any particular cases where the chamber stepped in and assisted a member business this past year that needed help because of COVID challenges?
So we had so many cases, and it's so some from sometimes the most minuscule to, wow, if I don't have major capital infusion, I'll be closing my doors forever. And so sometimes it was as simple as, how do I find hand sanitizer, right? And our distillers here, luckily, pivoted and now manufacture hand sanitizer. In fact, Luminary is the official hand sanitizer sponsor of the Erie Regional Chamber. And so we had very complicated questions. We had, you know, the Paycheck Protection Plan, the CARES Act, some of these other financing tools that were put together, businesses didn't really know how to apply for these grants or these programs. And we do know how to do that. And so just helping businesses understand, come to us with your questions. If we don't know the answer, we will find who can provide you the answer. We also learned of our deficiencies in the community. We absolutely know that minority businesses have been disproportionately impacted by this pandemic. We know that they have a higher close rate and they had a less access to any of the programs. Part of it is because some of them might not have had a banking relationship. So they didn't even know how to apply for a paycheck protection plan, or they didn't have an accountant or a lawyer that's helping to advise them. And so the next thing that we did, I forgot to mention, is while we were in a community that was not ready like any, well, I think we were somewhat ready for a shutdown because of our efforts with Erie Forward, we started a group we called Erie Restart in May. And that was really saying, if we were ill-prepared to go into a shutdown, we cannot be ill-prepared to come out of it. And so we looked at capital needs. We looked at workforce needs. We looked at a variety of government programs so that we could align resources in need. And we had working groups put together. There was probably 150 people that worked on the restart agenda for us. And clearly increasing our outreach into the minority community came through loud and clear. We helped one business that does about $1.5 million in annual revenues, and they were trying to apply for a CARES Act funding, and they're a minority-owned business, and they have no idea how to even complete these forms. Now, why would they? I mean, right? They don't do that, and they kind of accidentally came to us, and we're like, oh, absolutely, we can help you do this, and within a matter of hours, all their questions were answered, and so I guess the biggest resource thing that I think came out of us is if you have a question, just call us.
James, the chamber excels at connecting members. If one member may have a problem, you can potentially lead to another member that can provide a solution. How has COVID-19 impacted that aspect of your business? And I've got to imagine your ability to help businesses with those connections is more vital now than ever.
I think that's true. And I think we can always do better, but I think we're being recognized. You know, we interact with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of businesses, and we generally always know who actually provides that solution that you're looking for and can make that introduction and say, here's who you need to talk to. And so while we're a nonprofit business organization, what we really are is we're a B2B, business to business, right? We're not really a B2C, business to customer. So we're about making connections with businesses to provide the solutions that they need to move forward. And I think, you know, that's what we really want to be recognized for.
James, Erie Homecoming was held at the end of October. The event was virtual this year and highly successful. Can you tell us about the Arcteris Impact Investors announcement and their commitment to invest in Erie Downtown Development Corporation projects?
So we couldn't be more thrilled that they used our homecoming platform for this announcement. So Arcteris is a Boston-based fund that has received money from both Erie Insurance and the Erie Community Foundation for Opportunity Zone Fund investment. And they, Arcteris, has made a commitment of a minimum of $40 million to be deployed into Erie County. The first $30 million of the 40 is dedicated to the Erie Downtown Development Corporation. And it's, I can tell you, it's, while downtown is quiet right now, it's very rewarding to drive by and see activity happening. You know, the pandemic has not stopped Erie's progress. The second aspect, they have $10 million that are dedicated to other investment opportunities within Erie County, within the opportunity zones. And they are letting us be the platform. So anybody who is looking for investment, they can go to our website and fill out an application to be considered for investment of a minimum of $10 million into our community. We're going to be running, it'll be open till the end of the year that people can apply for it. Funding. And I think we're going to see the capital being deployed in the first or second quarter of 2021. And I can't think of a greater story than always seeing continued investment in our community.
James, can you tell us about other notable news that came out of Erie Homecoming?
Well, there was a lot of good news. First, we really struggled about homecoming. I have to admit that the staff came to me early in the pandemic and said, we just don't think we can have a homecoming event this year. And my answer was, we're going to have a homecoming event and you're going to figure it out. And I would say for those who participated, it was not like being at a day and a half Zoom call. It really felt like you're at a conference. It had a lot of variety. It had a lot of activity. We had an amazing community partner with Community Access Media, who did the production for us, who I actually didn't know what they did before. I had never met them before that. And that they were, what a great find for us with that. We started off by announcing, showcasing a group that we're pretty excited about called Black Wall Street. And it's a group of young minority African-American being led primarily by three young women to saying, we have to have a seat at the table in moving our community forward. So we liked highlighting them. We got to showcase some companies. Last year, Erie Insurance announced they had invested $50 million into an opportunity zones. And we had the case to present some what some of those investments looked like. So Whitethorn Digital was one. But another one that we're pretty excited about is a group called IRG, International Recycling Group. And they've opened up their headquarters here at Erie. Those are all resulted as part of the Erie Insurance's Opportunity Zone Fund that they announced in 2019. And now 2020, we have great things to happen. And I can tell you, Joe, I already have in mind what I want the 2021 announcement to be.
We've had the pleasure of getting frequent updates about Opportunity Zone progress from Brett Weiler, the Vice President of Capital Formation Flagship Opportunity Zone Development Company at the Chamber. Can you share further details about what the Opportunity Zones are and the development of them?
No, I think we have a good list of companies that we and investments we continue to showcase for Erie. Erie continues to be recognized as a national leader, both by, I know this is a little dated now, but you know, we were recognized by Forbes magazine at the early part of this year as being the top urban investment, opportunity zone investment in the country. I mean, it's because of the great work with Brett and others in our community. You know, we have six more years for the funding cycle to run. And so we'll continue to promote it.
James, how closely do you work with the EDDC? And can you assess the progress the corporation has made from its inception from the chamber's perspective?
Well, I think they're a great example. You know, what I really do is I talk about what we do. And then you have to get groups like the EDDC that are doing what we need to do, right? So any success that we're going to have in economic development requires the success of a group like the EDDC or the Erie County Redevelopment Authority or a myriad of other entities that are working in economic development. So like we don't have a loan program. The city has a loan program or the county has a loan program. We don't do investment into commercial activities. A group like the EDDC does. And so I can't help a company be started, expand, grow, or find workers if it's not for the work of these all these other bodies. And I think the corporate leadership that created the EDDC, Tim Nicastro in particular, putting a group in charge of saying, we have to control our own future. We're going to invest in us. Why would anybody else invest in us if we're not willing to invest in ourselves first is a message that was needed. And it's coming across to the country loud and clear that Erie believes in itself and it's investing in themselves. And so we couldn't be more supportive of the work that John and his team is doing at the EDDC.
This has been a year where there has been a wake-up call for everybody when it comes to systemic racism. You have been quoted as saying the chamber is committed to leading the way forward to an inclusive vision of economic development. Can you elaborate on that as we are just 3 weeks away from a brand new year?
So we had been working on this issue almost since I first got here. And while it may seem like that's 2 years and where are you at, we actually have done a lot to prepare. I don't normally make large public proclamations of things that we're going to do until I know that's exactly what we're going to do. And while we were tracking along, we had started working with having a diversity and equity and inclusion programming that we're presenting as part of our programming effort. I think what we found in the civic unrest this summer, and I don't know if that's even fair to use those terms. I mean, these are people that have been marginalized and hurt for many, many, for decades. And so one of the first things that we did is we looked at ourselves internally, you know. Are we doing what we say as an organization? We'd been looking at two great examples of both the Philadelphia Chamber and the Cleveland Chamber. They have these really good programs that we've been trying to model. And part of it is you do an audit of your organization. How are you? And we wanted to take our own audit before we can encourage others to do it, to show where our own deficiencies are. And we have some deficiencies in probably our hiring practices. We had some deficiencies in our outreach. We contracted with Dr. Rhonda Matthews from Edinburgh University, who did some 2 days of training with me and the staff, so we could understand kind of some of where our institutional biases were. And then we tried to work everything that we're doing with a diversity, inclusion, and equity lens. We'll continue to do that. We, as I said, in part of our capital committee for the restart, we found the deficiencies of getting out into the minority communities. Some quarters would say, well, you don't have access to some of these minority businesses because they don't trust you. And I don't think that's true. It's not that they don't trust us. They don't know us. And so it's our job to get out there and make sure that the least of our businesses are getting the service that we're created to provide. And so I just think it really helped us focus as an organization and to say, it's time to not just pay lip service to why this is important. We got to see it in action. And I have also said repeatedly, we do not believe we're an exclusive organization. That by no means that we're an inclusive organization. So then how do we address that?
Tim Nicastro, the CEO of Erie Insurance, announced at last year's Erie Homecoming that Erie Insurance would create a $50 million Opportunity Zone investment fund. Erie Insurance is Erie County's largest employer and an amazing advocate for Erie. Can you comment on what the Mr. Nicastro and Erie Insurance relationship has meant to you in your role at the chamber so far?
Tim has been a tremendous asset to me, both professionally and personally, coming to Erie. Erie is so fortunate to have an organization like Erie Insurance that is so committed to the future of this community. They do it in their deeds and they do it in their money. They do a lot of things nobody knows about because that's not really who they are. They provide leadership, I think, in most every quarter that I can imagine. You know, for their own employees, they have their own internal affinity groups that any of their employees can create because they want their employees to be in a happy work environment. You can see Tim Nicastro in a boardroom of Fortune 100 companies in the United States, or you can see him pouring vodka shots at the Russian festival or working in the kitchen at the Italian festival, right? That's the makeup of Erie. And I think, you know, that leadership and the investment they do in our community just makes everything easier in Erie. And I don't think they do it for praise. They do it for what it's right. I got to listen to Mr. Hagen speak at an event just last week, and he talked about when he went to work for Erie Insurance the first time he walked in. And it didn't look anything like it did today. He said at that time it had about 100 employees. And at that time, they would have never been considered like they are today, right? It would have been GE or Lord or some of the other corporations. And now they've taken on their rightful place as the leader of this community. And it didn't happen overnight. It happened over decades of believing in this community.
James, as we close out 2020 and a new year is on the horizon and the possibility of a COVID vaccine, a very real possibility, in hopefully the first quarter of the next year, how do Erie businesses look to rebuild? And why does 2021 represent a great opportunity in the post-COVID environment?
The hardest part for the pandemic has been just the incredible level of uncertainty. On top of that, you had an election. And that both of those caused just a lot of nervousness of what's going to occur. And now that it looks like the vaccine will be out even in the coming weeks, you know, I don't see it really making the big impacts until maybe the summer of 2021, that we're really back to doing some level of business. But there is nothing like a little bit of hardship to cause innovation. Our businesses today are innovating in new product lines and new ways of doing business and a new way of customer service that they didn't even cross their mind in March of this year. And so Erie is positioned to come out of this strong and ready. However, I would be remiss to say, while we know the vaccine is coming, it's not here yet. And the only thing that we can do to protect all of us is we have to wear our masks, we have to practice good hygiene, and we have to stay social distance. And those are the only things we know that'll prevent that. Erie businesses, as I said earlier, they have no interest in their employees or their customers in getting sick. That's not where we're seeing spikes coming from business visitation. We're seeing spikes because of behavior. The businesses have adapted. They're ready. They're ready to go. And they want their consumer to know that they can come to a safe place.
Speaking now directly to non-chamber members, why has the time never been better for an Erie business to consider becoming a member of the chamber as we head into 2021?
For the first time ever, there is a team of 10 professionals that are at everybody's disposal. So for your membership, you don't get just access to me. You get access to somebody who's a professional in all things capital. You get government affairs advocacy. You get educational programming. You get events. You get advertising opportunities. You get connected. You have collaboration. And I think a lot of people are not members for a couple reasons. One, they may never have been asked to become a member. And we would love every business to be a member of the chamber. Two, they think, well, it's not for us. They don't know what we ought to do. So we're here for everybody. We're here to advocate and grow our economy so everybody can prosper. And we do that in so many different ways that we would love, if anybody was interested in learning more about how to become a member or why, we'd love to talk to them.
James, any final words on closing out 2020 and looking forward to a new year?
It's getting to that time of year. I'm afraid now to go back and look at what predictions I made at the end of last year of what 2020 would look like. I certainly know none of my predictions would have been accurate, which is not true. You know, economic development, it didn't stop happening in Erie, right? Investment occurred, companies announced, a community college was created. We have nothing but month after month after month of wins and accomplishments that we can point to as a community as a whole. And sometimes we lose sight of the big picture of what's continuing to occur. As I drive around Erie and I see more construction activity today than I think I have ever seen. And so Erie did not stop, and we're poised to come out better and stronger than we have ever been.
Thanks for listening to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard Fridays at 12:30 p.m. Join us again next week as Logistics Plus is in the Business Spotlight.